God help us to commence with hymn 293. Encompassed with clouds of distress, and tempted all hope to resign, I pant for the light of thy face, that I in thy beauty may shine. Disheartened with waiting so long, I sink at thy feet with my load. All plaintive I pour out my song, and stretch forth my hands unto God. Hymn 293.
Let us read together Psalm 40 and a few verses from Isaiah chapter 51. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 51. The 51st chapter in Isaiah's prophecy, reading down as far as verse 8. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. And my righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them up, beat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Thus far we read. May the Lord bless the reading of those two portions of his sacred word to the profit of our souls and teach us to pray. Most holy and eternal, ever gracious Lord God, do look in mercy upon us now, a company of poor needy sinners. Found in thy courts, we humbly trust to worship thee this night in spirit and in truth. But Lord, we come with nothing. For Lord, if we've come rightly, we shall know the experience of the hymn writer. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And Lord, we pray now that thou wilt grant to us that precious grace of living faith in exercise in our hearts, that as we approach thee, we may be enabled to look by faith to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work, his glorious righteousness, his precious blood, a perfect atonement for thy people's sins. And Lord, we pray that, our faith this night might anchor in those precious truths. For Lord, nothing else will satisfy a poor needy soul than a glimpse of thyself. Then do condescend to look upon us. Lord, we come in all our poverty and insufficiency and sinfulness. But Lord, we plead with thee, for mercy. Let thy mercies come unto me, even thy salvation, according to thy word. We pray for the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit of this night, that thou wilt make thy mighty power known in the hearts of those of us that have gathered. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt break down all those barriers, all that resistance which so often is found within our own hearts, our old fleshly nature, the carnality of our hearts. Lord, come and break it down. Soften our hearts, quieten our minds, and Lord, if it could please thee, do draw near unto us this night and speak a word into our poor hearts. Thou knowest just what we need, each one of us, and thou knowest those cries that have gone up before the service. Lord, those petitions, groanings and sighs, Lord, they're all marked by thee. But we pray that even this night, it might be the set time to favour Zion. And as thy people gather this night, Lord, may we lose sight of everything here below, the creature. For Lord, it's thee we want, it's thee we desire to know. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt come this night and remember us each with the favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit us with thy salvation. Lord, thou knowest each heart and each case before thee. Lord, come and deal with cases, we pray. Thou knowest those cast down, troubled, burdened. Do come and lift up the beggar from the dunghill and set them among princes. And those who feel to be bound in affliction and iron, Lord, do break those prison bands. May they hear that thy voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lord, thou knowest those who, amidst all the storms and temptations and distresses and burdens of life, feelingly at the ends of the earth, knowing not what to do, Lord, we pray that thou wilt come just where they are. And Lord, might it please thee that thou wilt pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. For Lord, thou knowest those that long for it, those that are truly panting after thee as the hart panteth after the water brooks. Those that are waiting upon thee, oh, burst through the clouds, blessed source of light. And oh, do come and grant to us a revelation of thyself in all that thou art and all that thou hast done. The Lord, thou hast said, thou wilt satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. But Lord, thou knowest the paths thy people walk in ere they know the fulfillment of that precious word. Lord, we pray then, oh, do condescend to remember us each. Thou knowest those walking in affliction's pathway, those, Lord, cast down, feeling to be so weak, so insufficient. Lord, we bear them before thee and seek that if it could please thee, oh, that thou wilt put forth thy healing hand. And Lord, that there might be a measure of restoration to health and strength. For Lord, leave us not to trust in an arm of flesh. Leave us not to carnal reason. Lord, may we sweetly lean upon the heavenly physician, the dear Lord Jesus. And oh, might it please thee, thou wilt put forth thy healing power. And Lord, that all our pathways, whatever they are, in all the troubles, distresses, afflictions, bereavements, temptations, Lord, do sanctify them to us. And Lord, do come this night and sanctify us through thy truth, for thy word is truth. Lord, we pray then for the dear young people here. Remember them each in much mercy. Be with them and round about them. Keep them from the evils of the world. Leave them not to be ensnared and drawn aside by the sinful attractions of it. Lord, they have a carnal heart as we each have. And Lord, we are only kept as thou dost keep us. And we pray that thou wilt keep the dear young people. And Lord, that thou wilt work mightily in their hearts, that in their youthful days they may be quickened into a divine life, brought to seek truly after thee, conscious of what they are and what their sins deserve, but seeking to know the Saviour of sinners. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them. And Lord, might that amongst them be found those who in days to come, if it is thy will and the world continues, Lord, they may be found pillars in thy house, mothers in Israel. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt richly bless them in their young days. For Lord, thou hast said, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Lord, we pray that the dear young people might prove experimentally the fulfillment of that precious promise. Oh, do grant them grace to plead that word before thee continually. And Lord, we pray for those that have to do with the things of time and sense. So often, Lord, thou knowest, drawn aside by those things that we engage in a lawful way. But Lord, thou knowest the deadening effect of the world, Lord, thy people know it, and how we continually prove to be carnally minded is death. But oh, we pray that thou wilt come, break our hard hearts, soften our spirits, and Lord, we pray that thou wilt prepare our hearts to receive thy word. Lord, we pray for all thy people wherever they are, as we remember Zion, thy one church. Thou seest the solemnity of the day in which we live. For Lord, Zion has been brought low. She languisheth, and Lord, it's the exercise and concern of thy dear exercised people. For Lord, oh, do bring us to self-examination. For Lord, we believe the cause is in our own hearts. Oh, do come, deal mercifully with us. Lord, shine into our poor benighted minds. And Lord, we pray, grant to us real repentance, true confession, true godly sorrow for our sins. Lord, oh, we want to know the reality of true repentance and godly sorrow. And Lord, it's thy gift, and thou dost work it in the hearts by the dear Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, may we fall at thy feet even this night, conscious of what we are and what our sins deserve, but casting our all upon thee, believing that thou art able to do more than ever we can ask or even think. We pray for those not here this night, looking after young and dear ones. Lord, we bear them before thee and seek that thou remember them in much mercy. And Lord, may they receive a portion for their souls, although unable to gather in thy house. Lord, we pray for the real spiritual prosperity of this little church here. Oh Lord, we pray that there may be a building up here, a lengthening of the cords, a strengthening of the stakes, a breaking forth on the right hand and on the left. And Lord, that there may be those so wrought upon by the dear Holy Spirit, blended with that desire through love to thee, to seek to testify of thy goodness and mercy to them. Lord, we pray for the deacons, and seek that thou remember them each in much mercy. Thou knowest their differing pathways. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt sanctify those paths to them and our own paths. For, Lord, it's that spiritual profit we long and desire after. Lord, that nearness to thee, communion with the church's living head, to hear thy voice in love and mercy in our poor souls. And Lord, we may know the reviving power through the work of the dear Holy Spirit in our hearts. We pray for all thy true sent servants. Thou knowest where they're labouring this night. Be with them, Lord. Thou knowest the need, how great it is, the felt poverty, the ignorance, the foolishness. But Lord, we would desire to come now and cast our all upon thee, pleading with thee that thou remember us once more, and come and make thy mighty power known through the preaching and hearing of the word, if it could please thee. Lord, we thank thee now for all thy mercies and favours to us, how many blessings we enjoy, all unmerited, all undeserved, but still, Lord, in thy great compassion, those mercies flow in one continual stream. Lord, we seek now, that thou wilt hear our poor petitions, perfume them in the merits of the Saviour's sacrifice. Hearken and hear in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive as we seek now the pardon of all our many sins through the merits of the Saviour's precious blood. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
In 1074, when, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee, the fullness of thy promise prove, the seal of thy eternal love. Hymn 1074. Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening, as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the 40th Psalm, Psalm 40, and the first two verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. The psalmist was in a very low place. He was waiting patiently for the Lord. And yet we find here it is the psalmist looking back at what the Lord has done for his soul. Where was the psalmist? He was in the horrible pit and the miry clay. And what does that speak to us of? The pit of corruption, of evil, of sin. The miry clay, the world, and the things of it. That was the place in which the psalmist was found. But he was a cry in his heart. He was crying to the Lord. And he was waiting patiently upon him until he appeared. The condition of the psalmist as he looks back over his past experience. He sees what the Lord has done for him. The wonders of what he has accomplished in bringing him up out of that pit of that horrible pit and the miry clay. And what he did, he set his feet upon a rock, Christ Jesus, and established his going. Now, my dear friend, if you're a child of God, you'll know something of what the psalmist is setting before us in the psalm before us tonight. What God is setting before us in the psalm tonight. The horrible pit and the miry clay, that's the condition in which we are found dead in trespasses and in sins by nature, in an unregenerate state. And in that state of unregeneracy, we had no appreciation, no understanding, right understanding of that condition in which that sinner is found, in the pit of corruption. Sin occupies the principal part of their lives, the pleasures of it, the satisfaction wrought from it. The miry clay, the world taken up, the whole our thoughts and minds, satisfied with those things that are around us, ambitious, looking to perhaps improve ourselves, enjoying the pleasures of the world. Ah, it may not have been open. Ah, we may well have entered into the Lord's house Sabbath by Sabbath and sat in the pew, and there dwelt our thoughts upon worldly pleasures, the things of time and sense. The condition of an unregenerate heart. And my dear friend, that's where you and I will be found if the Lord finds us out in that condition. But oh, it'll be a realization of it through the work of the dear Holy Spirit, as he opens the eyes of that one, gives to them the hearing ear, the understanding heart, and for the very first time in their lives they have a sight of what they really are in the sight of a holy, holy God. Do we know it? Can we look back to that time when we were brought out of that place? Because, my dear friend, there is one thing absolutely certain, that left to ourselves, we shall never come out. We shall never be delivered from that place. We may have a conscience that troubles us. We may feel guilty from time to time of the things that we say and the things that we do. But it's but a fleshly thing. It's our natural conscience accusing us. But no real consciousness of where we are. Another thing, we shall be conscious that God's penetrating eye sees us, every thought and every word and every deed. And we shall have a sight as we look back over our lives, a broken law, a holy law of God, a law that demands complete obedience, and we have disobeyed it time and time again, carelessly and indifferently. And as these things are brought home to that child of God who is now quickened into divine life, they have a sight of what they are. Now the psalmist knew it. And what was the effect of it? He cried unto his God. And that's where you and I will be found. If the Lord is leading and teaching us by the Holy Spirit and shown to us what we are and what our sins deserve and our total inability to do anything to deliver ourselves from that wretched condition which we feel to be in. All the Lord's people know it, experimentally in their hearts, in varying degrees and differing measures, but all are brought to know what they are, what their sins deserve, and to a realization of the solemn consequence of their sins in eternity. Eternal punishment forever and ever. God's wrath to be poured out upon that one unceasingly. No hope of any recovery. And it's a sight of these things. These souls are brought to contemplate, and it brings them very low. They see the impossibility of their own condition as they view it in a natural state, and it brings forth a cry for the Lord would look upon them in mercy. They cannot see how that mercy can come, It seems so impossible. But cry they do, and cry they must, until the Holy Spirit brings them to see where mercy alone is found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That perfect sacrifice, that complete work, when the Lord Jesus stood in the room and place of each one of his dear people to atone for their sins, endure the punishment due to them for their sins. His complete obedience to God's holy law, and thereby those for whom he died are reconciled to a holy, holy God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. These characters who are in this pit of corruption, the miry clay of the world and the cares of it and the pleasures of it, brought crying unto their God. Now, that cry was for mercy. But we find here the psalmist waiting upon God, waiting patiently for the Lord. That's their only hope. They plead for mercy for Jesus' sake. For my dear friend, if you and I are the recipients of God's mercy, it's alone through what Christ has done. Not what we have done, not our poor, feeble efforts. No, it's what Christ has done as he stood in the room and place of each one of his dear children. He was found waiting patiently. Now that isn't our nature, is it? By nature we're impatient creatures. The Lord knows it. It is to humble us. It's to bring us to his feet. It is to bring us to realize increasingly our sinful condition, and that it will only be through the aboundings of God's love and mercy if we know that recovery from that wretched state, and to see the source of that mercy, that channel of mercy opened at Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood in Gethsemane and at Calvary to make a perfect atonement for sin. Now, my dear friend, you may know these truths, as they're so often declared from this pulpit. But what do we know of them experimentally? Do these things have an echo in your heart? Do you have a burden? Are you in trouble? Do you feel heavy laden? Do you feel feelingly to be at the end of everything, wondering where the scene will end? Feeling that the only course is divine retribution. But you know the Lord is bringing us down. Down, my dear friend, in complete dependence upon him. You see, naturally, we're not humble creatures. We have much pride in our hearts. And my dear friend, often we cannot see it until the Holy Spirit shows it to us. But there is the needs be, because you see, God is going to be honoured and glorified if you and I are going to be brought out of that horrible pit and the miry clay. And we shall come in this same condition in this same exercise that the psalmist had, waiting patiently for his God. Now, my dear friend, there's not one person who's ever lived upon this earth who has been brought to that very point in their experience where they're found truly waiting upon God, waiting for Him to appear. He has never denied such cries that come forth from that troubled, exercised heart. The Lord Jesus Christ said here below, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. He never has, he never will. But my dear friend, he'll prepare your heart and mine for that blessing which he has designed that we should be the recipient of if we're amongst these characters. And it will be when we are brought to the very extremity in our spiritual experiences. But you know, the vision will come, though it tarry. Wait for it. It'll surely come. Now we read, he was brought up out of the horrible pit and the miry clay. And that is the mighty power of God put forth in the heart of a poor, needy sinner. And it's that power which you and I have not, we have none, we have no strength of our own. It's a mighty power. It's resurrection power. That same power that brought the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's that power which the Lord's people know experimentally in their own heart. I say, beloved friend, do you know this path? Do you know the exercise? Have you felt your real condition? Have you sought the Lord? Have you felt your need of mercy? Have you cast your all upon the dear Lord Jesus, pleading with God that he'd remember you? For Jesus' sake. Well, such characters know what it is to be brought forth, brought up out of that horrible pit and the miry clay. And you know, to learn this lesson and the condition in which we are found spans sometimes over months and years. And those souls that are waiting for the Lord to appear may have been waiting for a very long time, seemingly. But you know, when the Lord puts forth his mighty power, his purpose is accomplished in a moment. If the Lord comes and speaks that word into some poor sinner's heart tonight, he'll bring them up and you'll know it. And my dear friend, he'll establish our goings in not our path, but in his path. And he will bring us and set our feet upon a rock. The rock, Christ Jesus. That's where he'll establish us and that's where he'll set us, my dear friend. Upon Christ, upon what Christ has done. Some of you, I believe, have known it here. When the Lord has brought you to that very extremity, you felt that it seemed to be the end of everything. And the Lord wonderfully appeared. He sent his servant and the word entered into the heart with power, and you received it. You knew it was a word from the Lord. You laid hold of the truth of it by faith and rested in that truth, knowing that it came from God in love and mercy to your soul. Brought up. You see, my dear friends, those who know they're there by the work of the Holy Spirit will be brought up, and it will be that time of true rejoicing in your poor heart. It'll be that time when you'll know it to be the time of the singing of birds and the voice of the turtle heard in your land. Blessed time, sweet experience. That which the Lord's people, I believe, that which they've been waiting for, many months and years perhaps, but the Lord does come, and he will come. He'll never, my dear friend, deny those waiting souls waiting for him to appear. He brought me up. Also out of an horrible pit and of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. There we were established in the truth. There faith was in gracious exercise. There we looked to the dear Lord Jesus, for there we saw in his suffering, in all that he passed through, all that he undertook, the perfect work that he accomplished. It was because it was a complete work, a work which God looked upon and was satisfied. His justice, the just demands of God's holy law were satisfied. God's wrath appeased in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is, my dear friend, as that soul is brought to seek after that blessing and to plead with God that they might be the recipient of it. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, dear friend, we would desire to look at this word in another way, as it's set forth in the word that we read together in the prophecy of Isaiah. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Now, my dear friend, it does mean that one is brought to reflect and to examine their own path and to understand why they are and what their sins have deserved, and to see that the Lord has viewed them in mercy. But we want to look beyond that, my dear friend. It is to the dear Lord Jesus. He had a path to walk. He knew something of the pains of hell in his soul. These things that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to accomplish. He stood in the room and place of his dear people, and my dear friend, the path that he walked in, the path that he passed through, as the completeness of it brings those gospel blessings to all of the Lord's living family. And if you've been brought up out of that horrible pit and the miry clay and your feet is established upon a rock and your goings established. My dear friend, you'll want to see the source. You'll want to have a glimpse of a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. His path was much rougher and darker than ours. My dear friend, that great work we cannot rightly comprehend. My dear friend, we would not be left to conjecture. But what we do know, that which is recorded in God's holy word, prophetically, by this prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, we read, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the Holy Son of God, infinite purity, infinite in knowledge, infinite, the Holy, the God-appointed sacrifice for the sins of the whole election of grace. The dear Lord Jesus, the Holy Son of God, despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yes, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Do we not have to declare guilty? In the Lord's house, many a time, these precious truths have been set before us by the Lord's servants, in all the sweetness and blessedness of it, but our hearts remained untouched. We came, we went as we came, without any real concern, and yet to hear of these glories of Emmanuel, and to be indifferent and careless over it. The Lord Jesus, despised and rejected of men. The dear Lord, who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What the dear Lord Jesus passed through in his body and soul, we shall never rightly understand. But one thing we do know, that God was satisfied with that great work which he accomplished. The evidence was this: he rose again on the third day. There the living testimony that all the sins of his people were all put away forever and God's wrath pacified. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Holy Son of God, his infinite condescension that he should so submit willingly to this path for his dear people, that their souls might go free eternally, that they might be the recipients of divine life, eternal life, and have that glorious prospect when called from time to eternity, it would be well with their never dying soul. He agonized, he groaned, he He bled in Gethsemane. We read of the account there. The Matthew, Mark and Luke and John so clearly set it before us. My dear friend, we find him wrestling. We find him groaning. We find an angel strengthening him. The weight of God's wrath upon the holy Lamb of God. The wonder of it is beyond our comprehension. But you know, faith lays hold of it and believes it and blesses God for it. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And you know, there's a remarkable word in that text, in that passage. It pleased the Lord to bruise his beloved Son. The one of whom he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Lamb of God that pleased the Father to bruise his beloved Son and to lay down his life and shed his blood that his dear people might live eternally. What a path. My dear friend, we shall see and know in a measure, a very small measure, the path that we walk in. We shall have an understanding of these truths that the Lord Jesus Christ knew and passed through in all that he suffered whilst here below. Oh, my dear friend, how faint, how small our sufferings are compared with the dear Lord Jesus. Willingly accomplish that work, that thereby his dear people might be free, free from the punishment of sin, fear free from the wrath of the law, that they might know something of the freeness of God's love and mercy to a sinful wretch, undeserved, unmerited, but oh so blessed. Now, my dear friend, this is the sight that the Lord's people long to have a glimpse of, a sight of their Lord and Saviour suffering in their room and place and stead. Perhaps you say, and venture to say, "That's what I want, that's what I long for." My dear friend, we cannot get there ourselves. The dear Holy Spirit leads the Lord's people, his people, alone to Gethsemane and to Calvary. And you know, what is it? The hymn writer said, "Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend." Dear friend, this is real religion. That which is wrought in the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the ground of a poor sinner's faith and the expectation, the fulfillment of their hope that it will be well while time endures and well when called to die. And there'll be a spirit of praise. You'll bless him there. You'll rejoice in him there. Oh, my dear friend, your poor heart will be full of love to the dear Lord Jesus for what he's done. And we know the fulfillment of that word in John's epistle. We love him because he first loved us. Do we know it? Do you desire it, my dear friend? You know, it's but a few moments, the experience. The Lord's people know of this blessing. But you know, it's something we never forget. Cannot. It's the work of the mighty, mighty work of God in a poor sinner's heart to look back and look back upon that pit of corruption. That miry clay. The world, and to see the wondrous love of God in his dealings with us, in bringing us to know these precious truths, raised up to a hope in God's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, my dear friend, is the foundation of the song of the redeemed, which each one will sing eternally around the throne in heaven. And it's this, and if we shall only sing it, as we know the truth of it, experimentally, in our hearts and souls' experience, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My dear friend, each one of the dear Lord's people, sing it there. Knowing the blessed experience of it, wrought in the heart by the work of the dear Holy Spirit. Precious truths, do we know them? Do we covet them? I say, those of you burdened souls, those who long to know it, those perhaps who are tried and tempted in the path you're walking in. Notice David, look back to that time. And so will you, and so will I, as we journey through this wilderness here below. It's that time of love, when everything perhaps seems so opposite. So far from what we would be, to look back and see what the Lord has done for us. Oh, my dear friends, sometimes it's clouded. Sometimes it seems that everything is brought into question. But you know what God has done. He's done forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And it is there a poor sinner will constantly go back, I believe, in their experience to the very beginning of the way. What you'll long for is to know the sweetness of the blessing again. That's what you'll cry for when in all your distress and trouble, Lord, revive my poor soul. Lord, come and reveal thyself to me. These souls have been brought up out of the horrible pit and the miry clay, and their feet set upon a rock, upon Christ, and their goings established in him, what he is and what he has done. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Warren will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Ince on Tuesday evening next week, Mr. Fred Ince. Let us close with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. Hymn 1070.
Thank you.
bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But may there be that which abides in our poor hearts to beat out and to plead with thee at the throne of grace. Be with us now as we part. Grant journeying mercies, and be with us each through the remainder of our journeys here below, whether long or short, and prepare us each for eternity. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.